Thank you, Doug, for giving us that reading of the scriptures there from Luke chapter 14. Thank you, Caleb, for your prayer. And thank you, Max, for leading us in that uplifting hymn, Who Will Follow Jesus? And for helping set the tone for our study this morning entitled Demands of Discipleship. You see, it's important to note that the word disciple simply means a follower or a student of a teacher, a learner or a pupil. It is also important to note that the word disciple, when used in the scriptures, involves much more than just the modern idea between a student and a teacher. For instance, the biblical concept of discipleship emphasizes the student-teacher relationship. That is the relationship between Jesus Christ, the master teacher, and his followers. And it teaches us that a disciple is to be a devoted supporter and follower of their teacher, and that they must be willing to accept the teachings of their teacher and be willing to adapt to their teacher's way of life. Knowing that, it's very important that we understand the demands of discipleship. And we need to understand those demands of discipleship that has been laid out for us who seek to follow Jesus. For as we learned in our scripture reading a few moments ago, which Doug just read for us there from Luke chapter 14, there are demands of discipleship, and we must know and meet those demands if we are going to truly be a follower of Jesus. So let's open our Bibles up this morning, and let's spend the next few moments examining the demands of discipleship. Starting with, if we are going to be a true follower of Jesus, we must deny self. We learn about this demand of discipleship there in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24. And there Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We go on to see those words of Jesus in regard to this demand of discipleship echoed there in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, along with Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23. And again, the emphasis is pressed upon the need to deny self if one seeks to follow Jesus. You see, self-denial is a quality that one must possess if they want to be a true disciple of Jesus. It's not an option, but rather it is a demand of discipleship that one denies self. And if one is going to be a follower of Jesus, they must always put him and his ways first. And they must always choose to do the things that please the Lord rather than self. This can sometimes be hard for some, right? It can sometimes be difficult for some to deny their self and their selfish ambitions and their self-will and to follow Jesus. However, we need to be mindful of the need to deny our selfish ambitions and our own will in order to be one who effectively follows Jesus. Again, as we mentioned earlier, it's not an option, but rather it is a demand of discipleship that one denies their own self, that is their selfish ambitions and their selfish will, and that they put the Lord's will before their own will. And denying self can simply be accomplished when we put the will of Christ before our own will. The inspired Apostle Paul said this well when he penned there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Did you notice that? You see, here the inspired apostle made note that he no longer lives for himself. Or rather, who does he live for? Christ. the one who died for him. And when we have this mentality that the Apostle Paul had, we can allow the teachings of Christ to take control of our lives. And we can allow them to properly direct our lives. And then we can truly be a follower of Jesus. So once more, may we recognize that a demand of discipleship is one must deny self. Another demand of discipleship that Jesus lays out for us is the fact that one must be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, our Lord. Again, we can learn about this demand of discipleship going back to the Gospel of Luke there in Luke chapter 9. And there in Luke chapter 9, beginning here in verse number 22, Jesus said this, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day." Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses and his he himself destroyed or lost? For whatever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy of the holy angels." See, to be simply put, Jesus here was very straightforward with those who seek to follow him, wasn't he? He was straightforward. Going back there to verse number 22, Jesus specifically told him that he himself was going to suffer and be killed. And then the very next verse there in verse 23, he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me or follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see, to be simply put, what Jesus was telling them was, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you too must be prepared to suffer and to likewise die if necessary. That's what Jesus was telling them here. He was being straightforward in the fact that if you want to be my disciple, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some suffering that comes along with that. And that's what he meant when he told them that not only must they deny themselves, but they must also take up their cross daily. You see, when Jesus referenced the cross here, he wasn't using it as a reference in regard to a religious symbol. You see, it's important to note that when the cross is referenced, it's never referenced in the scripture as many today think as a religious symbol. But rather, when the cross was referenced here by Jesus and when it's referenced in the scripture, it is referenced as a symbol of suffering and death. And that is exactly what Jesus was telling them. If you desire to follow me, you must be prepared to suffer and even die if necessary. That's heavy, isn't it? It's very heavy. And we recognize the fact that being a disciple of Jesus, it's not going to be a glamorous life, is it? It's not going to be easy. And here's the thing. It wasn't easy being a disciple in the first century, and it's likewise not easy being a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. You see, we recognize the fact that striving to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecution. Paul informed us of that fact there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, didn't he? When he says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what, Paul? Suffer persecution. It happened then, and it happens now. And we need to realize that if we truly desire to be a follower of Jesus, that there's going to be times when we need to be prepared to suffer. You realize that? If not, you need to realize that. Because here's the thing, discipleship was and still is about following Jesus. And unless one is willing to walk the path that he walked and bear the sufferings that comes with it, they cannot be his disciple. Luke goes on to inform us of that fact there in Luke chapter 14 and in verse 27. And notice what he said there in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, those words of Jesus. Jesus said, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You see that? Again, if circumstances command that we must suffer persecution and even die if necessary for the cause of Christ, we must be willing to do that. We must bear our cross and follow Jesus if we are going to truly be a disciple of Jesus. But another demand of discipleship that Jesus lays out for us in the Scriptures is that one must love Jesus Christ more than anyone else, including self. We learn of this demand of discipleship there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. And there Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We go on to see this echoed in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. And there, notice these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, now watch this, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." You see that? You see, to be simply put, what Jesus was informing those who seek to follow after him was of the need to love him more than anyone else. And that's a demand of discipleship, brethren, that our love for the Lord must be greater than our love for anyone else. Our love for the Lord must be greater than our love for our parents, must be greater than our love for our spouses, must be greater than our love for our children, and even for our own self. You see, that's exactly what Jesus was saying there in verse 26 of Luke chapter 14 when he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." He's not using that word hate in relation to despising mother or father, wife, children, or self. But rather, he's using that word hate as an idiom in regard to that lesser, greater love. And to be simply put, he's saying that no one is to come between a disciple of Christ and their loyalty and obedience to Christ, not even self. You aware of that? You see, there are some who seek to follow Jesus, but they let the tradition of their parents, their tradition of their spouse, come between them and obedience to the Lord. And here we learn where a demand of discipleship is that nothing, and I repeat, nothing, not even those whom we love most dearest on this earth, are to come between us and our relationship with Christ Jesus and obedience to Him. Nothing. And therefore, a disciple of Jesus must remove from them anything that hinders their total obedience to the Lord. That's serious, isn't it? Are you willing to do that? If not, Jesus said, you can't be my disciple. But another demand of discipleship that Jesus lays out for us is the need to follow and abide in the teachings of Christ. You see, we follow Christ today by abiding in His teachings. And Jesus, speaking to those in the first century who believed in Him, said these words there in John chapter 8 and verse 31. He said, if you abide in my word, you are what? My disciples. Indeed. He goes on to say in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, we recognize the truth makes us free. But do you realize that there's a condition to that? Jesus tells us that condition in verse 31. Abiding in His word. In order to be set free from the truth, by the truth, that is to be set free from the bondage of sin, in order for that to happen, Jesus says, you must abide in my word. And by doing so, you are my disciples. Indeed. You see, simply put, a true disciple of Jesus will abide, that is, remain in His word. And there is no way, and I repeat, there is no way that one can truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ without fully abiding in His teachings. No way. And although there are many who claim to be followers of Jesus, He makes it very clear that not everyone who follows Him is a true disciple. We talked about that a little bit this morning in our adult Bible class, didn't we? About the fact that not everyone who claims to follow Jesus is sincerely a true follower of Jesus. And Jesus made that very clear there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. When He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We go on to see there in verse 22 where they will say to Him, Lord, haven't we done many things in Your name? And what did Jesus say there in verse 23? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, there are many today who profess to be a follower of Jesus. They profess to be a genuine disciple of Jesus. But yet, they don't fully abide in His word. And when that happens, Jesus will someday declare to them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. Those are words that not a one of us here today want to ever hear. And in order to keep from hearing those words, we must be one who completely follows and abides in the teachings of Christ. For as we learn there in 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses the doctrine of Christ does not have the Father, does not have God. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has what? Both the Father and the Son. Remember that and understand that a demand of discipleship is the need to follow and abide in the teachings of Christ. But another demand of discipleship that Jesus lays out for us is found there in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. And there we learn that a demand of discipleship is we must love our brethren. You see, before Jesus departed from his chosen disciples, he commanded them to love one another as he had loved them. And we read about this command there in John chapter 13, beginning there in verse 34, where Jesus said, speaking to his chosen disciples, "A new commandment I give to you." What is that commandment, Jesus? Well, watch. "That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." You see, this love for others that Jesus is instructing here in verse 34 is one that must be unselfish. One that must be even self-sacrificing, like the love which Christ manifested toward others. You see, it's easy for us to look at a brother and say, "I love you, brother." That's an easy thing to do, isn't it? But it takes effort and sincerity to genuinely show your brother how much you love him. You see, there's a difference between saying, "I love you, brother," and showing your brother how much you love him. There's a difference, isn't there? We need to be aware of that. And we need to understand that this love that Jesus instructs his disciples to have for one another, it is to be manifested by actions and not by mere words. When I think about that, I think about the instruction given by John there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. When he said, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Simply put, what John was saying is, don't just say it, but show it. He was telling us that actions speak louder than words. And our love for one another must not be by just mere words, but rather by actions. We must recognize that, brethren. And we must be a people who show our love for one another. Jesus goes on to say there in verse 35 of John chapter 13, after he gave this instruction, he said, "By this," by what? By showing that you have love for one another. He says, "All will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Simply put, our showing of love for one another serves to the world as a badge of discipleship. And when the world sees us expressing love towards one another, Jesus said that they will all know that you are my disciples. Think about that. That's important, isn't it? Because on the flip side of that coin, when the world sees us brethren biting and devouring one another, they're going to have a hard time believing that we are truly disciples of Jesus, aren't they? It's not going to send a very good impression to those of the world, is it? When they see disciples of Jesus biting and devouring one another, they're going to think, "Oh, look at those hypocrites." That's what they're going to think, isn't it? But Jesus said, when you show your love for one another, they will know that you are my disciples. You see, as Bill McCubbin mentioned a couple of weeks ago in a short talk, we need more love, love, love. Amen. We do need more love, 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 brethren. And we need to be expressing our love more toward one another. Knowing that that is a demand of discipleship, let us possess a love for our brethren that is manifested by actions and not by mere words. Knowing that our love for the Lord is shown by the way that we love other disciples. We learn about that in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And there John said, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's a good question, isn't it? He goes on to say, in this commandment we have from him, what is that, John? That he who loves God, now watch this, must, no exception, must love his brother also. Hold on to those words, my beloved brethren. And may we all be a people who love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Remembering that a demand of discipleship is that we love one another. But another demand of discipleship that Jesus lays out for us in the Scriptures is that we must bear fruit. We learn about this there in John chapter 15. And here we find the illustration of the vine and the branches, which emphasizes the importance of bearing fruit. And here in John chapter 15, beginning there in verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. You see the emphasis being upon disciples bearing fruit there? You do, don't you? He goes on to say there in verse 3, speaking to his chosen disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Again, emphasis is placed upon the need to abide in Jesus, as we talked about earlier. He goes on to say in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. He says, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now pay attention to verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, as we learn from this allegory of the vine and the branches given by Jesus here in John chapter 15, we learn that if as we abide in the teachings of Christ, we abide in him. And as we do so, we are expected to bear much fruit. That's a demand of discipleship. And the production of this fruit is proof that we are the Lord's disciples. Jesus tells us that there in verse 8. And it's important to note that the fruit that we can bear as his disciples, the fruit that we can produce, can include things not limited to, but things such as good deeds, as we see there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, along with Matthew 25 verses 34 through 40. It can also include things such as increased talents, as we see there in Matthew 25, 14 through 29. And it can include things such as fruitful progress and spiritual growth, as we learn about there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. These are just a few ways in which we can produce fruit. And we need to be mindful of the need to remember that true disciples of Jesus will bear much fruit. And by this, our Father in heaven will be glorified. John chapter 15 and in verse 8. But another demand of discipleship that is laid out by Jesus is that if one truly seeks to be a disciple of Jesus, they must be willing to make a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus made it very clear that if one is going to follow him, they must continue to the end. We can learn about this there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And there Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Did you catch that? Jesus said, "No one," or "no man," having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Simply put, we need to recognize that disciples of Christ must make a commitment to follow Jesus in every aspect of their life. You must be all in. You must be one who, after you have counted the cost and made that decision to follow Jesus, you must continue to keep moving forward, never looking back, having regret. And Jesus said that if one fails to continue to keep moving forward as my disciple, and he looks back and regrets that decision, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. Therefore, just as Jesus was fully committed to doing the Father's will, even though it meant suffering and death, as we see there in Matthew 26 and verse 39, a true disciple of Jesus must be willing to do likewise. Therefore, brethren, if we are truly going to be a disciple of Jesus, we must do things on His terms, not on our terms. And we must put Him first in our lives every day, in every aspect of our lives. And we must be fully committed to serving Him and to abiding in His instructions to the end. For as Jesus promised that persecuted church, there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Once more, Jesus made it clear that if one is going to follow Him and be His disciple, they must be committed to Him to the end. Brethren, as we have discussed here this morning, there are demands of discipleship. However, if we are willing to meet the demands of discipleship, we will be greatly rewarded in the end. For as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, speaking to His disciples, "And you will be hated by all for My name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Hold on to those words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brethren. And let us be a people who seek and strive to meet the demands of discipleship that we have talked about here this day. So I now ask, how about you? How are you doing? Are you meeting the demands of discipleship? Are you? If not, are you willing to begin to meet the demands of discipleship? If not, why not? For Jesus invites all to be His disciples. And you can become His disciple today by being one who believes with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God. By repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus Christ before men, and by putting Christ on through baptism this very hour. You can do as Billy did last Tuesday night, and you can confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You can repent of your sins, and you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you too can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And may we all always remember, as we have discussed here this morning, that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather that we must continue to remain faithfully committed to our Lord and Savior. For as Jesus promised, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who once made that commitment to the Lord, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You're encouraged to repent and to return to your first love this very hour. You're encouraged to confess your sins to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. And to get back on that straight and narrow way that leads to life while you still have the opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Maxis Celestia.